So today we celebrate Epiphany. We celebrate God showing up. And God making God's self known to all the world. Primarily, we celebrate this on Christmas, and it is a joyous occasion on Christmas. We sing the songs, we have the bands. It's so wonderful. Jesus is born. We cleaned up the mess. There's hope and light and joy. And we celebrate, and that is the right thing to do. That is the exact right thing to do. But Epiphany has lots of meanings. Epiphany has lots of meanings. So we start with a lament today on Epiphany. A lament not for the children who are born, but for the children who have died, who did not get to live out their lives the way that God wanted because of the violence in this world. Today we remember those children who have died too soon. For instance, Isaiah Eamon Scholes. He was born with a heart defect, and his parents said he was a fighter because he overcame that heart defect, and he went on to play football, and he wrestled. He played keyboards, and he dreamed one day of going to the Denver School of Arts and becoming a record producer, just like his dad. Isaiah was shot and killed on April 20th, 1999, by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold at Columbine High School in Colorado. Naomi Rose Abersol was seven years old, the daughter of Amos and Katie Ann. She liked to wear the dresses that her mother sewed for her to school. She was in second grade. She went to school at a parochial school, Nickel Mines Elementary School in Paradise, Pennsylvania. And she was in school the day when Charles Carl Roberts came in and shot and killed her and several of her other classmates. October 2nd, 2006. Daniel Barden, he wanted to be a fireman. When he grew up, he wanted to serve at the firehouse. He played soccer. He swam on the swim team in his town, the Torpedoes. He was at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, on December 14th in 2012, and was shot and killed by Adam Lanza that day. Wassem was a lovely child, three-year-old, very talkative for his age. Everyone in his neighborhood loved to see him play and smile. And now he's dead. He was executed with a knife by terrorists in order to punish his parents in the village of Saida in Syria. In the time of King Herod, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who will be born king of the Jews?" And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him was frightened. The Magi left, and they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod and report what they had found. And so they went back to their country by a different road. And when Herod found out that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated. He was enraged, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years and under. according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. And then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. A voice was heard in Ramah and in Newtown and in Columbine and in Syria and in Connecticut and in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in Iraq. Rachel wailing for her children. A loud lamentation. Weeping for her children. And she refused to be consoled. Because they are no more. Epiphany is a day of lament. For all the children who have died through violence at the hand of someone who is seeking to protect and build their own power. And it's easy for us. It's easy for me. I'll own this. It's easy for me to say, well, that was then. That was King Herod. It was a brutal time. It was a terrible time. That was then. This is now. But I just listed all the examples of things that have happened now. That happens now. Or I might think to myself, ah, that's them. That's not me. That's those other people who are in that one country or in that one city or have that one mental illness. That's them. That's not me. And I want to separate myself from that tragedy and that horror. But then I read this story of Sarah Rivka Feldman. She was one of seven children. And Sarah grew and helped out at her family's grain business because her father had died and her mother was a widow. And in the year 1939, the invading German army confiscated that business, took all the produce and the buildings. And it was just 3 years later, in September 22nd of 1942, that Sarah and her family were deported to the Treblinka extermination camp, where she, along with her whole family, were gassed. And so when I'm tempted to think that somehow that's not me, I'm reminded of the fact that my last name is Werner, and I'm a Lutheran, and I'm a German. And those are my ancestors. And those are my people. And that could have just as easily been me. Those are us. Herod is us. Epiphany is a lament for the children who have died and a warning to us, all of us, who would be so taken up in hate and fear that we would think that violence was the answer and that children needed to be killed for any reason. Epiphany is a time to look inside, to really look inside and see that each of us has a little Herod inside. Think about Herod's motivations. It says it right there in Scripture. He heard about Jesus, a new king, and he thought, there's no king but me. How many of us have wanted to protect our position? Or maybe he saw the treasure chests of the Magi and he thought, why aren't they bringing those treasures to me? I'm the king. Why aren't they bowing down to me? I'm the one who deserves the homage. The homage. I know for a fact, in me, there have been plenty of times where that was me. Wanting the acclaim. Wanting the recognition. Wanting to protect what I had. And excluding others. So Epiphany is a lament and a warning. A warning to us that we all have a little Herod in us. Finally, finally, it's an invitation. Epiphany is an invitation. Because there's two kings in this story. There's King Herod and there's Jesus. There's another king. Jesus gives us another option. Jesus gives us a new way of being in the world. Jesus gives us a way out of the system of violence and retribution and exclusion and killing. Jesus says there's another way. God's kingdom isn't that way. God's kingdom is different than the world's kingdoms where children are massacred. Come, he says, come into my kingdom. And let me be your king, Jesus says. This is the way that I want to be. We read it right in Psalm 72. For he delivers the needy when they call. The poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy. And saves the lives of the needy. That's our king. That's Jesus. From oppression and violence he redeems their life. And precious is their blood in his sight. That's our king. That's Jesus. And so God is inviting us to follow the Magi, not to Herod, but to Jesus. And what does that mean for us then? What does it mean for us to have Jesus as our King, as our Lord, to bow down and worship him, to pay him homage? It means to listen and to his what it means to love the way he loves and to follow the way that he wants us to love our neighbors. And he says this right in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it is said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. That is the other way. That is God's way and not Herod's way. To love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, love gets thrown around a lot. Love is a common word in our language. I mean, I'll say, I love chicken quesadillas. You know, like, I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, we say love a lot. But obviously, it doesn't mean the same thing when you say you love your kid. That's a different kind of love. And so it is with God, too, when Jesus says, love your enemies. He doesn't mean love them like chicken wings. No. He means love them like this. And I'm going to read you the passage that you've maybe heard 1,000 times before, and I know I've read it myself at all kinds of different weddings. It's favorite from weddings. But I want you to listen to it now with your enemies in mind and Jesus' commandment, love your enemies. Love is patient. Love is kind. Be kind to your enemies. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. or rude. I think that's one of the hardest ones right there. Jesus says, when you love your enemies, you're not rude to them. Love does not insist on its own way with your enemies. Love is not irritable or resentful with your enemies. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So today on Epiphany, we lament. We hear Rachel weeping. We hear the warning again to stay away from fear and hatred and let that not turn into violence. And again, God invites you. God invites you one more time, one more year, to follow the Magi to the King of Love, our Savior Jesus. Amen.